It's a Tuesday, time for the Dial-A-Doc program here today. Let's head to FHN. She's the infection preventionist and clinical quality and professional development. Margie Kochmeyer's back with us again. Hey, Margie, good morning. Hello.
Good morning, Scott.
Well, I know what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the coronavirus. Apparently, it's now called the COVID-19. And apparently, there are multiple types of coronaviruses out there. So first of all, set the table for us. What is a coronavirus?
A coronavirus, it's a common virus that causes infection in the upper respiratory system, like our nose, our sinuses, and our throat. Almost everybody gets a coronavirus at least once in their life, usually when they're a child. Most are not dangerous. So if you're diagnosed with a coronavirus at this time of the year in the United States, you probably have one of those upper respiratory infections. There's several types. Four of them cause upper respiratory illnesses, but some of them, like SARS, MERS, and the new COVID-19, are coronaviruses that affect the lower respiratory system, and they can cause more severe symptoms.
Isn't the common cold a coronavirus?
The common cold is a virus. There are several different types. There's rhinovirus and enterovirus. It all depends on the virus that you have.
All right. So now tell us about the difference and of this COVID-19. Talk about that.
And, you know, they talk COVID-19. You're also going to hear them say SARS-CoV-2. So from what I'm reading, SARS-CoV-2 is the actual virus and COVID-19 is the disease. So this new coronavirus is more dangerous just because there's little known about how it was transmitted at first, and that is still being determined. And then there's questions about where it originated and how deadly it is. There's no vaccine, no approved treatment, and it falls into that category of the severe coronaviruses. There's been daily news coverage of this virus with statements that it's more deadly than the seasonal flu. But remember that our numbers of seasonal flu are counted for the United States, not the world. So this coronavirus has been counted worldwide.
What are some of the ways that the types of this virus do you think is transmitted? What are you hearing about that?
Well, most coronaviruses spread the same way other cold viruses do, through infected people that are coughing, sneezing, talking, by touching an infected person's hand, or by indirect contact, like touching some surface that the infected person has touched. So transmission's much like less severe coronaviruses and influenza. However, there have been some concerning transmission in people who have tested positive that never showed symptoms, and they were able to transmit the virus to their family members, and some who didn't have contacts, like the apartment building in Hong Kong where there was a faulty sewer pipe and someone who was positive actually infected the people in the lower levels. Positive tenant was quarantined and never had contact with those other people. So there's probably more to come about how it's being transmitted.
And did I also hear, did you see this, or is this that somebody in Italy also got this and never was in China?
That's correct. So there's probably some human-to-human contact. Maybe they were in contact with someone who had traveled to China, and that's how they're getting it.
Put this in, I didn't ever hear anybody to put this in context in terms of the fatality or the death rates on this thing. How does it compare to the other stuff?
Well, it's interesting. China, you know, they have such a big number of these cases. They've got a really high population density. They have 375 people per square mile. The United States has 92.9 per square mile. It's also interesting that they've got a very high smoking rate, especially among men, and there's been some connection between smoking and making someone more susceptible to this disease, that they cannot fight it off. Smokers have a gene, an ACE2 receptor, that these viruses like to attach to, and it's the entry point. That was found true with SARS in 2002. So unless you're traveling, there's probably a low probability that you're going to get this as of right now.
And what is the fatality rate? What are you hearing about that? How many people per thousand, or how are they determining that?
The death rate with this is about 2.3%. Know that could change. Mortality from the flu is 6.8, and which is below the epidemic threshold of 7.3. The death rate with SARS at the beginning was about 4%, but now World Health Organization says it was probably closer to 7.2%.
What about cases here in Illinois and Wisconsin? What have you been hearing?
Well, airports are testing people. They're checking their temperatures when they come in. But the other thing that we've learned is that not everybody runs a temperature with this, and not everybody that transmits it gets sick. There's two cases in Illinois. The first was a woman who went to China to take care of her sick father. She returned on January 13th and was diagnosed on the 24th, but had infected her husband. We have quarantines that are mandated for 14 days for anybody who is positive. For the Illinois couple, they were hospitalized just so that we could maintain them in isolation and reduce the risk of transmitting it to others. But you know, unless something changes with this disease, any hospital should be able to take care of a patient that comes in with this.
What does FHN do? By the way, we're talking with Margie Kochmeyer, infection preventionist at FHN, of course, at a very appropriate time here with this COVID-19 out there. Of course, the stock market yesterday took a tumble, apparently all related to the COVID-19. And I guess maybe before we go on, is this, I know that CDC has not said that this is a pandemic yet, but and I think there's political reasons potentially for that versus an epidemic. Is this a pandemic right now?
It is not a pandemic because it is not spread throughout the world. So right now, World Health Organization is calling it a public health emergency of international concern. So we're trying to stop it from becoming a pandemic. But there was an epidemiologist at Harvard that said, if this virus becomes pandemic, he estimates that 40 to 70% of the human population could become infected.
So now what? Whoa, 40 to 70% of the entire population potentially?
That's correct.
Wow. All right. What is FHN doing to help prevent any cases here of COVID-19 here in this region?
Well, we provide our community with information about precautions to take. People travel all over the world for work and mission trips, so we want everybody to have good information. Since the time of Ebola in 2014, we left our screening tool in place. So anytime you come into one of our facilities, that is the reason that we ask you those specific questions. Do you have a fever, a headache, muscle aches, vomiting, diarrhea? And we ask you about your areas of travel. Those answers to the questions are what prompts us to provide a mask, put somebody in isolation. So we are taking precautions that way.
All right. Have you had any Chinese travelers who have reported at FHN at all?
Of course we have, and we always manage them very well.
All right. Okay. Wow. Okay. What about the flu? Give us the update on the flu.
It's been an active flu season. We saw our first case December 7th. By the next week, we saw increasing numbers, and we continue to get positives every day. To give you an idea how much flu there is, as of last Friday, we had 439 positives, and last year on the same date, we had 32 positives. And last year we had a total of 240 for the entire season. So we're really pushing those numbers out there.
Wow. So that is over 10 times more than last year.
Yeah. And the interesting thing, though, is it's not the strain that we had predicted it would be when we watched Australia. This was more the B instead of the A, H3N2. So we're seeing kind of a combination of one A strain and one B strain, and it's H1N1, which is very well covered in our vaccine.
All right, Margie, tell us how people could find out more information about what you've talked about today.
If you're looking for information about the flu, go to FHN.org. If you want information about the new coronavirus, because it changes every day, go to the CDC or the World Health Organization website.
All right, Margie, thanks. Great information. Is it overblown? Tell us what your thought is on that.
I don't think so. It would have been good if we would have probably contained it a little bit earlier. Now, one of our other concerns is going to be that the summer games are going on in Tokyo in July, and there is no plan to stop that.
And what about the warm weather coming on? Is that going to help?
I don't think so. I think with this virus, it's going to do what it wants to, and it's all about travel and transmission from person to person.
All right. And what about travel plans for people? What should people be thinking about on that?
There is a site I gave one of our physicians yesterday that if you are planning on traveling, go to the CDC, and they've got some excellent tips on what you should do and maybe getting insurance for your trip ahead of time.
All right. Very good. Margie, great information. Appropriate. I'm sure we'll be talking with you soon again. All right.
Sure.
All right. Margie Kochmeyer here today, infection preventionist at FHN. That's the FHN Dial-A-Doc report here this morning on The Morning Mass, preceding brought to you today by FHN.